Wisconsin is going back to work.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsinized summary of this week in the Capitol with a special feature this week. Republicans are meeting in Milwaukee. It's the annual state convention, so we've asked Brian Schimming, vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, to join us and preview the convention. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Gentlemen, great to be here.
I get the first question. Ready?
All right.
It's clear that the goal of Wisconsin Republicans this year is to reelect Governor Walker. So I want to ask you, when you're facing platform discussions over secession and no confidence motions in Senator Olson, Representative Castell, doesn't that distract from your overall goal? Brian?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we have the resolutions debate will be Saturday afternoon, and we'll have, you know, an hour, hour and a half, hour or two, whatever it ends up being, of discussion on a couple of resolutions. And that's in a weekend-long convention in a six-month-long campaign where the governor's focused on taking the state forward and not backward. So, you know, I suppose it's interesting to talk about, but in the grand scheme of things, the governor's message, and he said this, he reiterated this week that he was in fact opposed to the resolution in question about secession. But the governor's message is so much bigger, it's so much more relevant to voters in Wisconsin. So I'll be chairing that part of the convention where we do resolutions, and I always tell people you get a majority and you win, you don't get a majority, you lose, and we'll see how that works.
I bet you have a follow-up on that.
Governor Walker tweeted yesterday that the real message of the convention, you know, launching the talk about the accomplishments specifically for Republicans, it seemed like an acknowledgement that you guys are losing the message a little bit. You got to try and get it back. How do you pull it back from secession to Governor Walker's accomplishments this weekend?
Well, it'll be default back to the message, really, because all the governor's been talking about is increasing the number of jobs in Wisconsin, which he's done. Our unemployment now down to 5.9%. The whole campaign, his whole administration, is about the fact that Wisconsin's open for business. That has been true essentially every day up to this convention. It'll be frankly true for most of this convention, and it'll be true going forward. So, I'm not going to be distracted by some of those types of things that people want. And we'll have good discussions and good debate at the convention. That's part of what we do at conventions. And we'll have some good discussion, debate, and then we'll have some votes and we'll move on.
Follow up, Brian. Is that motion going to pass on session?
I don't have a count. I don't have the best idea whether it will pass or not. I know the governor has come out and spoken against it, and others have come out and spoken against it, and I'm not sure that convention delegates are likely to oppose the governor on that issue, and frankly, I wasn't sure if it was going to pass or not anyway. So we'll see when the vote is cast.
But I think you just said you do not expect it to pass, correct?
Well, I'd be a little surprised if it passed,
okay.
But I imagine we'll have some kind of roll call or some kind of vote on it. We'll see, but I'd be a little surprised if it did.
What are you going to do with the no confidence motions on two veteran GOP legislators?
Well, those will be votes, and those will be floor discussions on those as well. And I don't see the, and of course Representative Castell is retiring, and Senator Olson, who's a long time, have known both of them really since they came into office. They've been in positions on joint finance, Luther Olson on the Republican side in the Senate, and so you don't usually put weak folks on the Finance Committee, historically, either party. So Senator Olson has had a particular interest in this issue, but he has voted with leadership and voted with the caucus on most other things.
But as vice chair, you don't want these two no confidence motions to pass, correct?
Well, I don't take a stand on the motions, especially when I'm chairing the convention. What I would say is there are bigger issues to focus on, and the bigger issues for the governor, and certainly as we're in, 6 months, the last 6 months already of the campaign, will be about jobs and making Wisconsin a better place. That's what we're going to be talking about going forward, no doubt.
Is Common Core becoming a litmus test issue that if a guy like Olson is going to stand in the way, that there's a primary coming in 2016 for him, maybe others?
Oh, I don't know that. I mean, Common Core is certainly an important issue. It's an important issue not just here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. This is Common Core has been important in a lot of states. And I think some of our legislators were caught off guard a little bit by this, and perhaps there wasn't enough focus on the issue as we went through the budget and went mm-hmm. through the legislative session. So I don't know that it's a litmus test, but it's certainly something of concern to a lot of folks. And I think some of our legislators have even said they perhaps didn't fully appreciate how much concern there was about Common Core out there, not only here, but across the country. And the governor reacted to that, I know, as did Speaker Voss. And so I think we're going to have some extra discussion of Common Core in the legislature and in Wisconsin. I think that's good.
When I interviewed Brad Courtney about the convention, he talked a lot about you guys now have 16 offices around the state, mm-hmm. field offices.
Yeah.
Where are the gaps between you guys and Democrats that remain in terms of field operation, technology, those kinds of things? They seem to have an edge, especially in 2012.
Yeah.
Turn their people out.
Well, when I go to these meetings, and I grew up kind of working campaigns in the state, and as you both know, I spent a lot of time traveling the state. I still do a fair amount, so I'm out with the grassroots folks. And I always say, every time you go through an election, win or lose, really, you learn some lessons. You do. Yeah, both parties ought to admit that they learn lessons as they go through elections. What's interesting is, I mean, we've ramped up to 16 offices. There may be some more offices off after that. The state party is essentially handling the grassroots operation for the governor's reelection campaign. But this has been a, you know, kind of a stress test for the party the last couple of years because of the recalls. We've gone through two rounds of recalls, prominently, of course, the ones with the governor and Lieutenant Governor Clayfish. So we're just ramping up our efforts probably quite a bit farther in terms of targeting of voters, but not just targeting, also getting out to places where we haven't been before and taking the governor's message everywhere. Interestingly, on that issue, one of the things that came out of the recalls, if you look at the results, if you look at the county-by-county results out of the recall, the governor did a better percentage in some Democrat counties than Republicans have done in a long, long time. It's, in fact, such a good percentage that Senator Vineout, who was anticipating running for governor, wrote a letter to the state Democratic Party saying, you better watch what's going on out here because some of these Democrat counties out in western Wisconsin performed much better for the governor. So we look at that and we go, there's opportunity there. Governor did a better percentage in his recall than he did in the first election. We're going for the trifecta.
A question on the governor. He needs on November 4, 50% plus one to win a second term. Mm-hmm. Latest public opinion polls don't put him at 50%. Are you worried, Brian?
Look, our attitude from the start has been this is going to be a competitive election. I don't think anyone wouldn't say that, and the governor is the first to say it. So you have a hardcore Democrat base out in Wisconsin. I think, you know, that was through the recall process. You know, that was strenuous, certainly for both parties in Wisconsin. So we've gone with the attitude, I think it's the reality, but also the attitude in terms of what we do, those offices, hiring staff, our targeting programs, our list programs. We've gone from the attitude that it's going to be 50% plus one. If we don't do that and get a little too comfortable, which frankly it's easy to do, because most of the polls there have been a couple of kind of outliers that showed the race to be closer, but frankly I would argue those were more circumstantial by news events than they were anything. But most of the polls, most of them, let's say, have shown the governor up 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, somewhere in that area. So I look at those polls, and that reflects kind of what we're seeing internally. But I think it's going to be a close race down to the end. And for the purposes of us organizing the state and taking the governor's message out across this state, that's the attitude we got to have until 8 o'clock on election night.
And we've often heard about how what a divided state we are, and that's partisan why he's not breaking 50. But are the policies that he's pushed and Republicans in the Capitol, has that helped divide the state? I mean, has he kind of created the dynamic he faces this November of a 50-50 electorate?
Oh, I don't think so. I think, look, he came into a situation where we had a $3.5 billion budget deficit. We had hundreds of millions of dollars in new taxes. We were stealing people's gas tax money to pay for other state programs. We were stealing people's patients' compensation. The Democrats were patients' compensation fund money to pay for other state programs. And so he came in, frankly, he had to speak to that a second. Scott Walker came in with two choices. He could have done a lot of incremental things around the edges and tried to, okay, we'll do these fund changes and this and that and the other thing and done the same thing for another 2 or 4 years. And he made the decision not to do that and to make the hard choices. Because he made the hard choices, look, we didn't expect the Democrats to like it. we weren't waiting for them to like it. We didn't expect that their allies and some of the state union leadership would like it. But they made the hard choices, and the Republican legislature made the hard choices. I was with him election night when he was first elected governor, when we found out that he had a Republican legislature. And I remember walking away going, you know, this is a historic opportunity. Well, it was, but a historic opportunity to make change. And, you know, Governor Walker got a midterm grade, and he came out pretty well.
Congressman Petrie, Senator Ellis, Senator Schultz, Representative Castell, pushed out by more conservative younger voices in your party, Brian?
I don't think pushed out. I mean, I think Congressman Petrie, longtime friend, Congressman Petrie had been giving some thought to retirement anyway, and maybe the primary, a potential primary, you know, helped him make his decision, as it often does other incumbents. I think Senator Ellis is kind of a little bit of an anomaly there because he was planning on running for re-election. One of the things that's been great for us, frankly, is that we've had a lot of candidates. Look, all of us at this table know it's not getting any easier to run for public office. And we've just had so many people step up, not only in those races, but races across the state. I used to recruit candidates full time, and so I've spent a lot of time sitting at kitchen tables and restaurant tables in every county of the state talking to folks about running for office. It's not easy, but we got people stepping up all over the place. That's the key, in my mind, to having the majorities that we've had, is we've had good people step up, because ultimately you got to have a good candidate to win.
Okay, we got time for one more question by me and JR. Go ahead.
It seems like we're in a cycle with the Republican Party where you have a very big setback in a presidential year. Midterms, you feel redeemed, like everything's going to be better, and then the presidential election right back to where you started. It feels like a good Republican year to most people I talk to right now for 14, but have you fixed the long-term issues that you guys have at the national level for 16? Do you think you're still an underdog for the presidency in 2016?
One of the interesting things about the presidential race, at least in my mind, is what were we talking about? What were a lot of Republicans, I mean, let's be blunt, what were a lot of Republicans talking about in the last presidential race? We don't have the candidate we like, or geez, we're just not, so, I mean, I had somebody else, I was interested in Senator Thunes from South Dakota, he didn't even end up running. So we had a lot of, you know, folks kind of like that, and, you know, it was a little bit difficult. And also you had a reelect, you know, you had a sitting president, a reelect. This next time, in 2016, I could name you a dozen potential Republican presidential candidates or folks that would be on the ticket. And so now we have this wealth of candidates for people to choose from. So I always say Wisconsin kind of follows what happens nationally. If you look historically at the way Wisconsin's performed in presidential campaigns, it usually either matches what happened nationally in the final result, or it's, you know, just very, very close. We kind of matched what happened nationally there. I think, especially with this administration, I mean, 61% of the people think the country's off on the wrong track. That's not only Barack Obama's problem, that's Hillary Clinton's problem, or anyone else running on the other side.
Brian, final question. Tea Party movement in Wisconsin in this election cycle, stronger or not as strong as in the 2010-2012 cycles?
I was with our RNC national chair, Reince Priebus, in Milwaukee the other night, and he set an example, not only in Wisconsin, but for what the RNC is doing nationally, in welcoming new people into the party. And that's our attitude at the Republican Party of Wisconsin, is we want people in the door. We do. And that's really been a lot of our success, certainly at the legislative and state levels. You know, having folks come in the door, and I've always said this, having folks come in the door is where I want to be as a party. You're not going to shrink yourself to a majority. You got to let people in the door. And I'll say that to my fellow party members to the point where they don't like it anymore. But they don't like me bugging them about it anymore. But the truth of the matter is people in this party want folks to come into the party. That includes the Tea Party movement and other conservative movements as well. And if you look at where we've been the last couple of years in this state, we've won the governorship and lieutenant governorship not once, but twice. Senator Johnson got elected. We took two congressional seats that had been held by Democrats, including Dave Obey's, which had been 40 years. We maintained a majority in the Assembly and in the state Senate, run record numbers of courthouse seats. We are on a great run in Wisconsin, but it's because we welcome folks in. We're going to continue to.
Out of time. Brian Schimming, Vice Chair of the Republican Party, thanks for the preview of the convention, both of which, Wisconsin Politics and Wisconsin, I will be there.
We'll see you there.
And in other news in the Capitol, voters in Wisconsin will not have to show a photo ID for either the August primary or the November general election. That's because Capitol leaders, starting with Governor Scott Walker, said they will not call a special session to reenact the bill that U.S. Judge Lynn Edelman struck down this week. JR, you've been looking at that Edelman ruling. It's a major ruling, and it's very important. Talk about that, please.
Well, a couple of things. One, he invalidated the law under the Voting Rights Act, That's getting some national attention, kind of unique. Two, interesting provision that he put in the decision was that even if you come back and pass something, it's come back before me again and make sure that I'm okay with it. So that makes life more complicated. Just remember, just 2 months ago, when the Supreme Court was hearing this case, state Supreme Court, Governor Walker was saying, we're coming back to do something if this doesn't stand up to scrutiny. Lawmakers were on board pretty much. All of a sudden now in May, they're going, not enough time. Well, why? Well, I get the impression that the prospect of coming back in May or June, mm-hmm. pulling guys off the campaign trail and saying, okay, mm-hmm. let's pass a bill to change the rules for the election box this fall, in August even for primaries, didn't sound very appealing. Total side issue, but remember this too. Bill Cramer, his lawyer pledged, if there's a special session, Bill Cramer will be there. Could you imagine the circus there would be in the Capitol if Bill Cramer came back?
That's a very good point.
The floor. Now, I've never talked to him to know that he for sure would show up. His lawyer said he would.
Right.
That would be an interesting day in the Capitol, see Bill Cramer walk on the floor of the Assembly after what's happened.
Just a real quick follow-up question, JR. Does this mean whatever our state Supreme Court rules on the photo ID is kind of moot, since Bigfoot in the form of a federal judge is weighing in?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but if you got one court saying no and one court saying yes, I think the one court saying no is still going to have an effect. I mean, the state Supreme Court, too, though, had major issues with the part about you have to have a birth certificate mm-hmm. to get an ID, mm-hmm. and you have to charge $20 to get a birth certificate copy. So there's that issue. They may come back whenever they do and say, here's a separate issue you have to deal with. So then how do you fix it from there?
Right. Okay, and one other thing. The Legislative Fiscal Bureau was asked to score all of the tax cuts approved since Republicans took over. They scored it at $1.93 billion. That's over a four-year period, 2011 through 2015. And they said of that $1.93 billion, $750 million were income tax cuts and $535 million were property tax cuts. That $1.93 billion is a number we're going to be hearing a lot of during the campaign.
They'll round it up to two, just on the safe side.
They'll two.
It's going to be, look what we've done to the economy for Republicans and Democrats saying it's trickle-down economics all over again. They've benefited the wealthy and the rich. It's hoping to trickle down to you, average Joe voter, this is not helping you kind of thing.
And that $1.93 billion, I'll get it right, does not include the higher withholding tables that went in, so numbers everywhere. Finally, JR, in the There He Goes Again, Democratic Representative Brett Halsey running for governor. Well, you describe his latest maneuvers.
Well, Brett is promising to be at the Republican State Convention this weekend, this afternoon actually, out in front of the convention hall, and he's going to do walk from there to Turner Hall, where Governor Walker is having a reception that the governor does every year for delegates. He's going to hand out KKK hoods. This is Brett
in
Halsey's,
Milwaukee.
Yeah, this is Brett Halsey's version of highlighting what he says are racist policies by the GOP and Governor Walker. We talked a week or two ago about how Brett Halsey, the worry from some Democrats is, if Brett doesn't get enough attention, he'll ramp up the antics. Mm-hmm. There was a column recently talking about this is what he used to do for the Sierra Club. It was all about getting attention. Yeah. This is Brett Halsey's version of getting attention. And at what point does he jump the shark, if you will, or go so far that people say, okay, this guy's cried wolf one too many times,
right,
and he loses the stage? I get the impression, talking to folks, that they think Halsey is enjoying this moment in the sun, and he's going to try and grab it for all he's got. He also has no money, needs earned media, free media, to go out
that's
and spread the message.
That's what this is about. But we hope that there's no incidents when he walks Milwaukee streets handing out KKK
hoods. He's also got both parties saying, hey, this is too far. Yeah. I mean, he didn't have any friends in the party establishment anyway from the Democratic side, but this has really kind of put a nail in that coffin.
Thank you. Finally, this programming note, there will be no Rewind next week. I'm off on the road spoiling grandchildren. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.